I feel your energy, it's so over the top. I won't accident you, but I want to let you on. Protection now, whoa, 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 whoa. Hello everyone and welcome to the Straight Popcorn Podcast. My name is Al Nichols.
And I'm Brock Vincent Sharp.
And boy, oh boy, guys, we have so much news for you this week. So guys, sit back and enjoy. We have Star Wars news, and we have it in abundance. Brock, would you like to start us off on this conversation?
So after me and Elle being as awesome as we are, debating the whole entire Star Wars cast off and on for the last couple weeks, we officially got punked. So what happened today is Lucasfilm Disney officially released the list of the cast that's going to actually be in Star Wars. No more rumors, no more Zac Efron, the real deal.
Yep. And remember I was making jokes about a lot of these cast members. It was like the equivalent of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Just some of these kids just disappearing, you know, little Oompa Loompas come out singing songs, right? I was completely wrong, and so was Slash Film, who actually did a huge, epically long thing about how Zac Efron was probably going to be in the film. I never really bought it. I don't have a problem necessarily with him being in the films. Just in light of a lot of the recent things that's been going on in his life and some of the legal troubles that he's found himself in and drug problems in the past, I was thinking that's probably not going to happen just because that's an 8-year commitment for a few films here. So,
yeah, I really didn't. I'm sure my friends will probably IM me over this after the podcast is released, but I really didn't have a problem with Zac Efron. Like, I'm not particularly a fan of his movies per se, but I guess I've always kind of seen that they're. Sometimes you see those actors like it's like, oh, if he did something with that was like really good material, I think this dude might, you know, end up being really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, take for example the trailer for Neighbors. I mean, that looks pretty funny, and comedy can do some pretty interesting things for actors. I mean, look at Channing Tatum and 21 Jump Street. I mean, that was a pretty awesome comedy. So I wasn't one of the people opposed. I mean, I could see him. You said that you saw him maybe as Luke's son. I saw him as Han Solo's son. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it could have worked. I think the reason that another reason they probably didn't add him to the film is that, I mean, it kind of would have given off the prequel vibe a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But, you know, I mean, look, I'll give the guy some credit. He has been a part of a trilogy before. You know, he was part of High School Musical 1, High School Musical 2, and High School Musical 3.
I mean, that shit was better than Lord of the Rings, by
and
the
hey,
way.
He had to learn choreography for those. They had to do that in the Star Wars films. You know, I mean, he could pull it off. There's so many, there's like potential elements here for greatness, and they could have turned Star Wars into a beautiful musical.
Yeah, like Sha-na-na-na, hey, Tatooine. Sorry.
I mean, look, joking aside about the guy, like I said, I have no issues with him. I think he has potential. I think a lot of those Disney stars, they have potential. The problem is that oftentimes they end up gravitating toward projects or certain character types. Like, for him, I mean, like, yeah, and a lot of, like, the trailers I've seen him in is always kind of, like, playing, like, a pretentious douchebag or, you know, like, the good wholesome kid and stuff like that. Because there was that one film he did. It was about his brother or something.
I don't Charlie even... St. Cloud?
Yeah. Like, okay. You know, like, whatever. I mean, I think they're interesting projects, but they're not really going to help his career, you know? Just a lot of stuff coming
up. Yeah, I got forced to... Sorry, I didn't interrupt.
No,
I was gonna say, I got forced to go see that Nicholas Sparks movie he was in.
Oh God, what was that called?
Shit, I can't even remember, man. I just remember he was like a Vietnam, not a Vietnam vet. That would be there'd be some problems there. But he was an Iraq war vet or an Afghanistan war vet. I can't remember.
Right.
And he falls in love with the picture of one of the soldiers he served with in the war. and came back and kind of like did this weird stalky thing. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, of course it's Nicholas Sparks, so like it's not stalking, it's hot dude dick action, you know what I mean?
Right. So sending positive messages to people everywhere. Hey, if they're watching you from afar, that's not stalking, that's love. Oh Lord. Well, I mean, he's definitely not in it, but should we go over the list of people who are in the film?
Yeah, enough about the upfront.
Do you want to do it or should I?
No, I don't want to talk about this, Elle. Let's talk about Zac Efron's entire entire filmography.
When you said that.
That's what I want to do on this podcast. Nobody wants to hear about Star Wars Episode 7. Nobody cares about that shit, Elle. Come on.
When you actually said, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about, and I almost thought for a second you were going to pause and be like, Deo.
Oh, you interrupted, by the way. I just want to finish my thought real quick. So,
go for it.
I mean, you know, Nicholas Sparks, like, who ever gave this guy a pin? You know, like, I don't understand. Like, every film that is creepy, but it's not creepy because it's hot dudes. And I'm a straight guy. I'm a little offended. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, come on.
Well, I'll be honest. Like, when I even try to think of these films, I just know they're horrendous. Like, I've seen them on some sort of, like, chick flick ad or whatever, and I'm like, nope. Just immediately, like, never, you know, just looks terrible. But okay.
But in all seriousness,
so the list of actors are as follows: John Boyega from Attack the Block. I know you've definitely seen Attack the Block.
I have. It's a really great film. So I was really, really surprised and really, really excited that he was in it. I think it's going to add a really nice flavor to the film.
I think it says a lot about actually these casting choices. In fact, from the sounds of it, it does seem like they're going with a lot of local actors because they are filming in London. I think at what are the studios called again there?
Put on the spot studios.
That'll be the working title for now. But anyway, you know, like I know he's a London actor, and I believe so is the next person on that list. Daisy Ridley, who was in a show called Mr. Selfridge and Silent Witness, which I've not seen either one of those. I was wondering if it was like Mr. Selfridge was that show with Ari from Entourage. I can't remember his real name, but I'm like, it seems like I remember seeing that on Netflix at some point, but it could have been like an American spinoff. I don't know. Or American reboot or whatever of something. And then also Adam... Actually, here's the really surprising name. This was a name that we actually did think was not going to be a part of the project because they currently are signed for a Martin Scorsese film, but that was Adam Driver from Girls.
Which is the one that has me the most excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched Girls, and in all honesty, Adam Driver is the reason I keep coming back because the dude's a great comedic actor. He's also a great dark actor, and he's really good at balancing those two things. Yeah. And a lot of people probably listen to this podcast don't know who Adam Driver is unless you watch that show. But you're missing out. Like, this dude is definitely the real deal. I think he's going to do a lot of really big things. So him getting added to the cast, it was like totally game. Do that shit. So.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with it. I mean, you know, we've actually both been hearing a lot of rumors about what his role in the film will be. And, you know, everyone's assuming that he's going to be like the new Vader type character. But, you know, it's like these are part of rumors that, you know, like you were telling me that there was a casting sheet that basically listed a lot of the things that he actually does embody, correct?
Right. It was, and I may be paraphrasing wrong here, but it was along the lines of like average looking guy with average build, very charismatic. Totally fits Adam Driver. If you see each personal list, it doesn't fit anybody else to me. Like, unless they swapped a role and we don't know about it because we don't have a fucking script. So why would we know that? So,
well, I mean, we've heard that, you know, but there's part of me that kind of thinks that that's not accurate. Like, it honestly seems like it's, I don't think they'd be trying to make another Vader. Like, I think they do need a central villain to kind of unify behind, but I don't think they're going to go for like exactly a Vader type.
Yeah, and I don't really think that Abrams realized that ship has sailed. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be something that I'm not saying because I know the expanded universe thing's not really legitimate now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would venture to say it's going to be something along the lines of what we saw in the later novels. Not the same thing, but those types of stories.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be interesting to see what kind of path that, like, the film follows, you know, I think they're going to come up with something a little bit more original. You know, like, I know, like, the prequels, the big thing that Lucas kept saying about those were, you know, it's like poetry. It rhymes, you know, because you would see, like, elements from the original movies in the prequels, you know, just repeated, and it was ridiculous. I think if we've learned anything, and J.J. Abrams is probably taking this very, very seriously, it's like a fragile egg at this point. But, you know, he's probably looking at it like, well, we need to be bold. We need to do something interesting. Yeah, we can't go too far off track. So I think there's going to be a little bit of both in there. Like, I think we're going to see something that, you know, would definitely feel like Star Wars ultimately. But I think it's going to be a little bit brave. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm excited. Like, that's just Christmas next year if they stay to that schedule.
Wouldn't it be some shit if, like, we're all getting punked and, like, J.J. Abrams releases a mockumentary, like, Spinal Tap about the Katina band?
Well, let me go through the rest of this list here. Okay. We have Oscar Isaac, Inside Llewellyn Davis. If you've seen that film, he was the star of that film, actually. Yeah, I mean, did you see that film?
I actually did not.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, I know he got a lot of recognition for it. His name is starting to get very popular here in Hollywood. I was starting to think that maybe he would be more like the villain element in this new film.
Yeah, I could see that totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of hearsay at this point. But there's some people who coming up on the list here who definitely could also fit into that type because of their background. Andy Serkis. And, of course, a lot of people know him as Gollum from Lord of the Rings and also Planet of the Apes, where he played... What was the monkey's name in that again? I totally forgotten. Caesar?
Oh, and yeah, Caesar.
Yeah, Caesar. Right. And he's coming back even for Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And so he's going to be in the film, probably doing another mocap part, like you thought.
Yeah, I think, something about it tells me it's going to be a mocap thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not opposed to Andy Serkis playing a regular human being. I just think that, like, that just makes sense. Because, I mean, Abrams did say, yeah, there's a lot of practical effects, but he had no problem using a little CGI, so.
Right. It just can't be like the old, like, the prequel films where everything was green screen and there was nothing for anyone to play off of, you know, where real scenes couldn't really evolve because they weren't part of those environments. So we've already had that talk. I'm not going to go back down that road. So another name that's been added to the cast is Domhnall Gleeson from Harry Potter, who played Weasley, and he also played an extra role in True Grit. Do you have any thoughts about what he's going to be doing in the film? I have no idea.
I don't know, man. I mean, he could... you know what strikes... I'll just say what strikes me when I see him. You know, kind of like all Luke's friends in the, you know, when they went to blow up the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
I see that type of role for him for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what it is because we have no idea what the fucking movie's about. But I think that that would be a cool kind of role for him.
You know, I never really thought about that, but you're going to have some Rogue Squadron members in there or whatever squadron they may have at that point. That'd be kind of cool. I mean, that was never something really explored in the old films. It was just, you know, you had a few of those members around, but they never really were featured. So it'd be kind of cool to see something like that in this new one.
Watch him be like a mocap dog or something. Which would be kind of weird. Like, hey, it's this guy that you recognize, and we put him in the least recognizable role. I don't know.
Well, that guy's really tall, too, right? Because he could always end up playing like, hey, it's Chewie's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his son's name? What was his son's name in the Christmas special?
I can't even remember now. I can't even remember.
You know, that'd like, be fantastic.
His name was Flapjacks or something.
You know what? I kind of wish they would just... Actually, you know what? I just thought of it. If they do the Christmas release as they are currently planning on doing, technically this will be the new Star Wars Christmas special.
Awesome.
Anyway, one of the
piece of shit, man. That was so horrible.
But then the prequels came along, and everyone was like, "Oh, that's not so bad." But anyway, the last name on the list, who I think is really clear that it's going to end up being a villain, Max von Sydow, who was in Ghostbusters 2 as Viggo, which I just realized. And then Minority Report. He was also in Conan the Barbarian and David Lynch's Dune. So guy has a huge background in film. I know you sounded like you were kind of excited about him being cast to the movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Max von Sydow. I mean, it's, right. he's such a creepy dude anyway. Like, I think that he's going to play a more emperor type role.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, let's be honest, and if Max is listening, which I don't think he is, he's probably not the most mobile guy now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he is, great, you know, but I see him as more of, like, kind of the hierarchy of the dark side, yeah. In a sense.
I could see him in a robe pivoting around in a chair.
Yeah.
I definitely see that as a possibility. I mean, I think this is a great cast. I'm really excited about this. This list, of course, Anna Kendrick was not part of this list, as we had thought, because, you know, she sat down, had dinner with Carrie Fisher, and that does mean something, especially since just earlier this week we heard that all of the original cast, who also are returning for the film, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and I'm starting to blank on some of the names here, Kenny Baker, Peter Mayhew, and, oh man, who was the guy who played C-3PO again?
That was Kenny Baker.
Anthony Daniels. There we go.
Yeah.
They're all returning.
Oh, no, I thought you said RTD2. I'm sorry. No.
I'm like,
do you think Anna Kendrick, like, read somewhere that the greatest series of films, the crew is getting back together, and she showed up thinking it was a Twilight get-together?
I totally forgot she was in those films.
Sorry, I had to do it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, look, I think this is a really great cast. I'm excited to see what they do. I think I've said that way too many times now, but it's true. I'm always excited to see a new Star Wars film in the right hands. so, yeah, I mean, this is a great list of people. All right, guys, so that's pretty much the new cast list, and we did get a little bit more insight about the expanded universe, which now is null and void. They've pretty much written that off, and for good reason. They don't want to be confined and constricted to those stories, which they would be with the Timothy Zahn series, which pretty much follows immediately after the events of Return of the Jedi. So there's a lot of new books that have just come out, one of those being a book called Star Wars A New Dawn, which actually precedes the television show Star Wars Rebels, which is coming out, and gives a little bit of insight why Lucasfilm and Disney have decided to, well, maybe the reason that they decided to put the kibosh on the entire Clone Wars show was to begin to move away from that and go into more of a consolidated timeline.
Yeah, and I think it's a really great idea. One thing that I think about, like, them doing the new canon books, mm-hmm. is that it's going to reset everything for a new audience.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, they got to the point, and it's not a bad thing, but when you have so many books in a series, it becomes overwhelming for the new reader.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually, by doing this, kind of hitting the clock, getting the fandom up again.
Yeah.
And I'm actually excited about it, too, because I read like, the Timothy Zahn books. I've read, you know, some other here and there ones, and I've read a lot of the comics just because they're great. And I really could use a reset myself.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
I would like to actually read these and get something from them and not feel like, oh, I'm going to regret this later, which a lot of readers are probably feeling right now.
Well, I mean, I really enjoyed the books that I read, but there was always this thought that they were never going to do more movies, and this is all I had. And, you know, I mean, right. Going through reading those books, they're fine, but they tend to lack some elements, actually, of Star Wars. And they also have a little less vision because the people who really, like, Lucas, I don't think, was really all that involved in the expanded universe.
That, and, you know, something I also thought about is, like, maybe that kind of was a missed opportunity. They could have easily said that those were other world series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very true.
Which is like alternate timeline series, but they didn't do that, unfortunately.
Well, you know, one thing I always saw them, like, they would eventually pick up on this and start going down the route of, like, okay, we're going to do a Boba Fett story, or we're going to go follow these particular set of characters. Like, in fact, my favorite Star Wars books were the ones that did not have, were not featuring Luke, Leia, or Han, or any of the original cast from the movies. It was, I really liked I, Jedi, which followed the story of Corran Horn. I even really liked those books that were actually based off of that Star Wars. I think it was Dark Trooper, or it was a series of books, series of games that were really interesting that had a Kyle Katarn, as the lead. So I enjoyed reading those stories more just because they had an interesting premise to them.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever read the alternate universe trilogy?
What was that one called? Was that the comic book series?
Yeah, they were. I mean, it wasn't. It was just Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and A New Hope. They basically like made decisions in the story and took it in another direction.
I love that idea, and I remember reading those books and just being astonished by some of the pathways that they would follow. You know, it was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, they were really good. Like, I was really excited because I don't know, I have a thing for books like that because I don't know if you read them growing up, but the What If comics from Marvel, where they were like, what if, you know, Spider-Man had joined the Fantastic Four at the beginning, or, you know, they always did those. But I thought it was cool they did with Star Wars, and in all honesty, I could have used another three just to see, like, what would have happened another way. But probably not a lot to gain from that, but it was really good, cool storytelling, so...
I kind of wish they would write off the entire prequel trilogy as a what if.
Yeah.
Or it'd be great if they would just like go back and do a special edition of Revenge of the Sith. And at the end of it, you know, they zoom out and it ends up Mustafar, the lava planet, ends up being a part of a snow globe. And Luke Skywalker, a young child, is just shaking it.
Just a little
bit of like Saint Elsewhere.
Yeah, I was about to say Saint Elsewhere ending. Or Bob Newhart wakes up at the end, except he's actually Ewan McGregor. That would be excellent. I would watch that over and over again.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, let me give you guys the name of these books that are coming out. New Dawn, which should be coming out September 2nd, 2014. And then they're also doing a Tarkin book, which I think is great, and by a Star Wars writer who I've not actually read anything from, James Lucino. I'll be curious to see how those books turn out. I'm definitely going to be reading them in any case. And then, of course, some of these books definitely start to sound like a lot of the books that did follow, like early on, the Timothy Zahn books. This one's called Star Wars Heir to the Jedi, which sounds like Heir to the Empire. So that sounds interesting to me. I'll definitely pick that up. And that was written by Kevin Hearn, and that's a January 2015 release. And then, of course, the one that's probably like the build up to the film is Star Wars Lords of the Sith, which may be a little bit of an insight into the film stories, because these seem to all kind of be a bridge to the film and from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to predict Star Wars. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lords of the Sith could end up being like a medieval-style Jedi story for all we know.
Yeah, it could go back all the way to the beginning of the Old Republic or something.
So I never know how to read it. I mean, it's always cool to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had reported, Elle brought this to my attention earlier, that someone had... What site reported that the new Star Wars movie is called A New Dawn?
Oh, God. I think it was... let me see what this website is called. I can't find it. But anyway, there was a website. If you do a search online, you'll probably be able to find it. But it was like Star Wars, A New Hope, not A New Hope, A New Dawn confirmed. And then you click on the link and it's a question mark after it. Star Wars, A New Dawn, title confirmed. And it's like there's a lot of stories like this. And of course, it's someone who misread the book releases that are coming out. And Star Wars A New Dawn is one of the books that are actually going to be preceding Star Wars Rebels. So thanks for that wonderful reporting website. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I thought I was going to shit my pants when I heard that. Like, I thought we were going to get a whole new generation of sparkly Jedis. Because that shit sounded just like a Twilight title. Like, I was like, please don't. But anyway.
Hey, they could have called. Ew, sorry, damn, I cannot talk. They could have called the sequel Breaking Han.
Yeah. But be on the lookout for those books. I think it's going to be a really good time.
All right, guys, so that is it for Star Wars news this week, even though there probably will be more, but we'll cover it on the next episode. But anyway, we also had some new Kevin Smith news this week. Do you want to tell us about it, Brock?
Yes, Kevin Smith is, okay, this has kind of got a weird sorted past, but there was a Smodcast that Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier did where they talked about Krampus, and then there's also a Tell 'Em Steve Dave episodes about the Krampus.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, do you want to explain what the Krampus is?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, like, the Krampus was like kind of like the original vision of Santa Claus or something like that, like this, or was it just some sort of evil creature or whatever that came in and bad little boys and girls and stuff like that were eaten by the Krampus or something?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Roughly. Yeah. Right.
And so, I mean, Kevin Smith has done, he just finished up Tusk, and that was with Michael Parks and Justin Long, and that was also based off of a Smodcast episode as well. So him moving into this project is not a big surprise.
No, and so the movie is really called, wasn't it like Here Comes the Krampus or something like that?
Right, something like that, yeah.
And now it's called Anti-Claus. Now, I'm usually pretty game for a lot of things Kevin Smith does. Mm-hmm. This one is the least appealing thing I've heard him put out yet.
Yeah. I think that he's maybe a little too motivated by the release of Tusk, possibly. Like, oh, we did it before, we'll do it again, you know. I'm not as interested in this. In fact, I mean, I don't really listen to Tell 'Em Steve Dave, but haven't they been working on a few projects about this already?
I mean, they tossed it around. The major thing that Tell 'Em Steve Dave is working on right now is they're doing, you remember the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and like...
The claymation shorts.
Yeah, they're going to do a film.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be their Christmas special that's going to be out later this year. They've actually already done a film. I don't know if you know this or not, but they did Tell 'Em Steve Dave Puppet Theater, and it's an hour and a half long.
Oh, wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and it really kind of sucks because I've heard it's really funny, mm-hmm. but like they only released it on DVD, and I got rid of my DVD player a long time ago, and I'll probably get some shit for this, but I cannot find a torrent of it, and the only reason I'm looking for a torrent is because I want a digital download, and I can't find it anywhere.
Well, I'm gonna
I'd be
have
more
to
than happy
that.
To take a torrent and put it in their $10 in their PayPal or whatever they want for it. Right. I just would like to see it. So.
Yeah, they're a little bit, I don't know, they don't like doing things where people can actually have access to the stuff that they do. They always make it the most complicated formats.
They really need to work on that because those dudes, and we don't usually talk about other podcasts much here, but Tell 'Em Steve Dave is one that I go to every week just because listening to those dudes talk is just, it's hilarious, but.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much why I listen to Smodcast, so.
But yeah, he's doing Here Comes the Krampus into Anti-Claus, and I think Tusk is weird enough, and I'm okay with that because I speculate that they there's something there to that, you know. But I don't have any interest in Anti-Claus. If I want to watch some shit like that, I'll go rent like one of those like straight to DVD like holiday horror films.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see Kevin Smith do one. Like, it just doesn't interest me in any way. I kind of wish he would, like, move on and go to Clerks 3.
Yeah, I'm really, like, waiting for Clerks 3 to happen. I mean, you know, I think he's fancying himself a horror director now. And, look, I'm not going to dispute that. If that's what he's pursuing right now, then good for him. I'm glad he's going after something. I would like to see him kind of finish on a project that he's been talking about forever. And at this point, there should be some sort of progress with Clerks 3. I mean, I think, not Miramax, but the Weinstein Company have had the option for quite some time. I'm not sure if they've passed on it or
yeah,
what.
And I mean, you know he's doing another one after this. It's like supposed to be about like a huge Jesus.
Right. But I think he actually ended up ixnaying that.
Well, that's fine with me, because yeah. After this shit, I don't want to see any more shit. I mean, who knows? I might walk into it and watch it and actually love the shit out of it, but I can get on board for a lot of things. This is just not one of those.
Yeah. I just want to see Tusk first, and then hopefully Clerks 3 happens at some point. Like, I hope he Kickstarters that or something like that, if Weinstein Brothers end up finally passing on it. We'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting.
Am I imagining the fact that Harvey Weinstein's back at Miramax again?
Is he?
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I remember hearing something like that. I wouldn't be shocked to find that out. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems like if that's the case, then he would most definitely end up probably passing on Clerks because, you know, he's got a lot of other, you know, fish to fry at that point.
Yeah, well, let's just, you know, I'll be the super fan and be like, yeah, get that Krampus, but deep down inside, I'm like, get that Clerks 3, you know?
Yeah, I kind of want to see that since he's talked about it so much.
and fucking hit somebody. Like, I'm not even a, I'll watch hockey. Like, I'm a huge hockey fan. But when I heard him talk about that, I was like, I want to see that.
Well, I mean, from what I last remember hearing about that, it ended up turning into a miniseries because he tried to go shop it around to a few producers. He even talked to one of the major players, the guy who does the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. What is his name?
Don Simpson?
No, no. He's like the main producer. It's the guy who does all that stuff for Disney.
Jerry Bruckheimer?
Yes, Bruckheimer. Okay. He had a meeting with Bruckheimer. And Bruckheimer actually gave him some really good advice, like, who the hell's making hockey movies anymore, you know? And it's not that it's a bad idea, but it's that trying to get funding for it and find anyone who will take that risk is almost impossible. So he ended up, he did a podcast where he talked about it because people had been asking him about it forever. And he's like, yeah, we ended up turning it into a miniseries and that's going to be coming out later this year, but we haven't heard anything about, you know, that was actually a year ago that he talked about that. So I have no idea where the progress of that project is right now.
He's starting to sound like Vladimir Del Toro. Remember when Del Toro went through that whole thing? Him and Rodriguez both.
Yeah.
Like, they would, like, name these fucking projects, and, like, none of them ever happened.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the problems, and I've been guilty about that myself with even some of the things that I've worked on, announcing things, you know, getting really... Because you think that they're going to happen, and maybe one of the incentives is that if I talk about it publicly, it's going to make it happen. You know, like, take it from just ideas to into production. The problem with that, though, is you end up talking about things too early. And then as you start to work on them, you realize that, there's a lot of problems with this, you know. Or, I don't know, this sounded a lot better a minute ago, you know. And there are other things that come along that are far more interesting and more impressive. So, you know, that's one of the problems about... I mean, for Kevin Smith in particular, he does so many podcasts that he has to have something to talk about. So at some point, he's going to end up talking about these things just because you got to fill in time. So that may be one of the problems there, you know. But, I mean, he has – the guy is a worker, though. There's no dispute about that. He sits down, he writes something, he finishes it, he tries to get it out there. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I mean, I'll give him a little bit of a benefit of a doubt, you know, and stuff like that, and be like, okay, you know, he'll release these, I'll check them out, and if I don't enjoy it, then I hope that he gets back to Clerks 3. But Tusk sounds like it'll be a good film. It has a good cast, so.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Yeah. Well, also, we have some news about Amazing Spider-Man. We talked about last week the fact that there is a very special clip of X-Men Days of Future Past. At the very end of the film, either a prologue clip or something actually important about the film that they're going to be releasing at the end of that. But a lot of people were concerned that there wasn't going to be an additional clip for Spider-Man itself, like they did in the last one. But news just came out, and there was even a few stills that were released that Amazing Spider-Man 2 will have a post-credit scene for another Amazing Spider-Man film.
Yeah, and I think it's going to have something to do with the Sinister Six.
Yeah, I mean, who was, wasn't it Mysterio that was, like, at the end of the last one?
I think so. I can't even remember now, honestly.
Yeah, it was the guy with the big globe head, I believe, or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I have him as a T-shirt and stuff like that. But anyway, like, I remember, like, seeing that. I was like, oh, I was really impressed. And then I totally forgot about it. When they started showing, you know, images from Amazing Spider-Man 2, then eventually it was like, oh, yeah, remember that guy? Like, where is he? This isn't okay. So I think that maybe that's part of a build-up to something that wasn't even, like, maybe it continued in this story. We'll be curious to see what happens. I'm excited for the film. It comes out this weekend, so I'll definitely be, you know, getting in line for the midnight show of that particular movie.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get around to seeing it this weekend, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it for the Spider-Man news and stuff like that, but there was one last thing that we wanted to talk about here. Do you want to go ahead and dive into that?
Yeah, there's a project I've been waiting for a really long time from one of my favorite filmmakers, Richard Linklater, and they finally released the trailer this week, and it's for a movie called Boyhood. Boyhood was a film that Richard Linklater did as an experiment. He started 12 years ago. He filmed Ethan Hawke, Patricia Arquette, and an unknown young man, and they basically filmed their age progression over 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
It tells a story of a kid in between his parents during a divorce. So I'm really, really excited about this because Richard Linklater has always been kind of the voice of experimentation in a tasteful way.
Right.
And so anytime a guy does something, I'm just like rooting for him. Because I get this feeling, and I haven't seen the film, so it might be kind of premature, but I think this might be his best picture.
Yeah. I mean, I really liked Bernie. I talked about that before we started recording, but Bernie was one of my favorite films. I think that was like 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went into it accidentally because there was nothing else playing. I just wanted to go see something. And I was like, oh, Jack Black is in this? I'm like, well, I don't really know if this is going to be any good. But it ended up being something completely different than I was expecting. And I was really pleasantly surprised by it. Like, a lot of films don't do that. You know, you go to it and you expect something and you don't get that and you end up disappointed. But I felt like, oh, my God, I found something amazing by accident. This is wonderful. And I was really impressed by that. And then to learn that half of the people in that film were actually people that were really a part of that community and were there for the real story. That was amazing. That was great.
Yeah, and I mean, he also did, you know, other experimentations that he's done was like Slacker, his first film, which is, if you haven't seen it, is like, I'm talking to you, you walk away, you talk to someone else, then we follow that person, and they go talk to someone else, and then the movie just continues in that cycle.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. And then he did a movie that I was told I recommended to Elle earlier called Tape, which is just an hour and a half movie set in a hotel room. Now, that doesn't sound like, ooh, exciting, but it is done so brilliantly. The way that he actually pulls it off and the acting in it's just wonderful. But you guys probably know him from like Days to Confuse.
Yeah.
That was a huge film that he did. And, I mean, he's had some here and there ones along the way that I'm sure you've probably caught on cable or something like that. So, but super excited about this. If you get a chance, watch the Boyhood trailer. It doesn't disappoint. It just looks like an emotional powerhouse. So,
yeah, I was watching the trailer and I was definitely like, I was joking at first and then I kind of quieted down. I'm like, wow, this is a really good trailer. It looks really like it's going to be an awesome film. So, I'm definitely going to track it down and find out either when it's releasing or is it already released?
No, it comes out like June or July, I think.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's got a couple months to go.
Well, very cool. Well, that pretty much wraps up the news segment of this program, but we do have... This is kind of a rumor. I mean, this definitely falls into rumor territory. It's definitely not confirmed in any way. But, guys, it's time for some Fleetwood Mac, not Fleetwood Mac rumors.
Oh, what is this? This is not Fleetwood Mac rumors.
Get him out of here. He's great.
All right, guys. So this week's rumor is about a potential X-Men television series. I just read a little bit about this on actually Slash Film, and it's more of just someone who's involved in the entire X-Men Fox property, basically talking about like how X-Men would actually lend itself better to television, and this is something that I've believed for quite some time. What are your thoughts about that, Brock?
I mean, I think it's a great idea. I think it would be a better idea if it was under the Marvel banner.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could totally see it happening. I just... I don't know, man. This whole thing with that 20th Century Fox and the X-Men is just getting more and more confusing as the weeks go by.
Right.
I mean, last week we find out it's going back to First Class, maybe. Because they never fully confirmed that. So it could just be a total reboot altogether. And then now they're talking TV series. I don't think 20th Century Fox knows what to do with this anymore.
Yeah, I think they've explored all the stories that they can think of. And unfortunately, I don't know, there's way too many of these stories within the X-Men movies that have gone on top of themselves and they've eliminated very key characters. Like, we've talked about it many times before, but like the elimination of Cyclops. Like, if I go read a comic book right now, Cyclops is a major player in those stories. Well, they can't explore that anymore because they killed him off in a very stupid fashion and for a stupid reason. Instead of just recasting the guy, they're like, nah, he's not going to be a part of this anymore. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, I really want to see a television series, But as you said, with the Marvel banner, not Fox, I don't see Fox doing anything more with this that I'm really interested to see, to be honest.
Yeah, I really, 20th Century Fox is kind of just a sore spot for me. They really can take some great things and just destroy them. Take, for example, the Alien versus Predator films.
Yeah. Well, I just watched Fantastic Four, which I think was a Fox property as well.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Ugh. It's like I don't know, man, like sixth graders write their screenplays. I don't know. Like, they're just, they've really lost their way. They really need to pull it together. I mean, this was the studio that put out Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, they were the studio, but they weren't, I mean, that was about it. They didn't really have any other involvement in the fact that they were the releasing company with those films. And Lucas hated them. Like, Lucas despised those people, which is why he ended up going, which was it, Universal for Indiana Jones? It was another company.
Paramount.
Because it's like, enough of you, Fox, you know, going somewhere else. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, they even did Daredevil. I mean, they did like a lot of atrocious stuff over there at Fox Studios. I don't know. I don't think they have the ability to do it. I don't think Bryan Singer will be involved in the next films just because of all the, you know, the shitstorm we basically talked about last week. But, you know, it's like, okay, so you have like this directionless franchise now that you're just, you keep grabbing at Marvel properties within the X-Men universe and hoping to turn it into a movie. I don't see it. I really don't. I think there's way too many problems now that they cannot just do a reboot and fix it.
Yeah, I don't know. I look forward to seeing the new movie.
Yeah, I do too.
But just, I am not going to have any expectation for what's going to happen going forward. Because 20th Century Fox can't even handle an Alien versus Predator property, much less the X-Men. Mm-hmm. So, and that was kind of unfuckable.
Yeah. It's a pretty straightforward story with years and years of great stories to follow from, and yet they didn't use any of them.
You take a franchise that big and hand it over to Paul Anderson, and I'm not talking about Paul Thomas Anderson. I'm talking about Paul Anderson, the guy that did Mortal Kombat, which is an awful movie. And he's done, like, other really crappy movies. Just go look the guy's filmography up, and it's like train wreck after train wreck. They hand over Alien vs. Predator to that guy, and knowing that they could have easily handed over to somebody good, and maybe even adapted the Dark Horse comic books, which were actually rather good, and made that movie a winner. But no, let's go hand it off to the guy that made Mortal fucking Kombat.
Hey, let's go find the screenwriter for Mrs. Doubtfire while we're at it and have her take a stab at it.
So screw the easy sell, and now they're going to screw another easy sell. Welcome to 20th Century Fox, where dreams go to die.
Yeah, pretty much. Fox Studios, oh, fantastic. They need to put that little spotlight that they have, they need to put it on some talent.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they know what that looks like, so I'm not going to hold my breath.
So, all right. So, here's our last segment of the show. Do you want to do the intro for it?
What?
All right. This week's film that we want to talk about, which actually was announced last week, right after we did our last podcast. But if you are a fan of 80s television, well, it's most likely that you did not watch this television show. But as many studios have done in recent years, buying up a lot of 80s popular properties on television and cartoon, this is one of the most recent acquisitions, and they've rushed this shit into production very quickly. Jim and the Holograms.
Oh, wow. We are talking about Jim and the Holograms.
All right, guys, that is it for this episode of the podcast. And please go and follow us and like us on Facebook and Twitter. We are facebook.com/straightpopcorn, or find us on Twitter @straightpopcorn. Please also remember, we are now on iTunes. I don't know why it took so long for us to be listed there. Brock fixed the problem. You can do a search for us now, Straight Popcorn, and you should be able to subscribe to our podcast directly through the iTunes service. Also, we are on Stitcher as well. Just do a search for Straight Popcorn. And the website is coming very, very shortly. We're going to start releasing a lot of new news articles that we don't have time to cover here on the podcast. We hope to do them in a little bit more of an interesting way than just a typical news source. We'll see. We're working on that right now.
Just want to give everybody a heads up. Unfortunately, some of our podcasts, they will be here every week. But unfortunately, right now, we just purchased a house, and we're going to be doing some remodeling and moving all in this month. So it's going to be a great little adventure. But unfortunately, it's going to cause us to cut some of them short, or maybe end up on a Tuesday or Wednesday, or even maybe a Saturday for the next month. So just bear with us. And we'll definitely have something for you in store every week.
But guys, that is it for this episode. Thank you for joining us. I am L. Nichols.
I'm Brock Vincent Sharp.
And guys,
keep pop.
Protection that was